Welcome to TSOH Weekly. My name is Alex Morris of the TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira of Aravila Capital Management. The topic for today is Meta. And to get us kicked off, I'm going to start with a quote from the company's Q1 2022 conference call when CEO Mark Zuckerberg said, "Over the next several years, our goal from a financial perspective is to generate sufficient operating income growth from the family of apps segment to fund the growth of investment in Reality Labs, while still growing our overall profitability." And he went on to say, while it's not going to happen in 2022, their goal and expectation was that they'd live up to that that framework over the long term. Over the next couple quarters, the company reported revenue declines in the face of ongoing OpEx growth, which led to a very significant amount of pressure on the P&L and a lot of pressure on the stock price too. I think as I wrote in February of 23 in Phase Change, that the turning point kind of came in Q4 when it became a lot clearer, particularly if you parsed out some of the restructuring charges, that the company had a real focus on operating much more efficiently. And again, as I kind of wrote then, if that coincided with the revenue reacceleration, it was a really nice setup in terms of what could happen on profitability. You know, fast forward to today, for the year 2023 revenues at Meta were up 16% and adjusted OpEx was up 2%. So very significant margin expansion, very significant growth and profitability. And as we look at the 2023 results, they actually returned to the framework that they outlined on that Q1 2022 call with a lot of interesting periods in the interim. So anyways, Francisco, what are your thoughts as you kind of look at where Meta stands today and also, you know, what's happened over the past 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, I think you know, echo a lot of the things you said. It's kind of amazing that looking back at the peak of the tailwinds they had during the pandemic and the subsequent quarters, you know, revenue growth was 56% at the peak, you know, and over 30 for several quarters, and just a few quarters later, bam, they're, you know, negative one, negative four, negative four. So 3 quarters of negative growth, and the headlines were just, you know, so difficult. You know, getting squeezed on ATT, getting squeezed by, you know, competition, or at least the perception with TikTok and Snapchat and others. Nobody's going to use the Facebook Blue app anymore. The kids are not using it. It's just trouble after, and you know, spending the house on science projects with Facebook Reality Labs, you know, and now they've, you know, shown real discipline on costs. But I think more encouragingly, you know, in a much more encouraging way, going from 3 quarters of negative growth to 3 quarters now of over 20% growth and forecasted for Q1 as a third quarter in a row. And it's just amazing. I mean, how many businesses you see that are so big do this? And part, you know, the cash flow says the same story, right? They went from nearly 40 billion in peak free cash flow to almost 15 billion, which took them to kind of like 2018 levels, and now they're at all-time highs of like around 44 billion-ish. So it's been a very, very impressive turnaround. I think their year of efficiency really, you know, being so cost disciplined while reaccelerating revenue growth in such a big way, it's just extremely impressive. So I think it's been like a textbook turnaround story, which and stock that now is up what over 3 times or getting close to 4 times. How do you, and I think that review that we just gave is tying it to the numbers, I think is very indicative of how the companies kind of come back. Now I think like going forward, you know, they're still spending a lot on Facebook Reality Labs, and you know, can and then also can they sustain, you know, can they sustain the revenue growth that they've achieved, and is this huge kind of spend, which I think is around 16 billion or so on that they're burning, you know, can they sustain, you know, kind of growing that those losses without any real sign of some sort of payback?
I thought that was one of the really interesting parts of of the call, and I can't remember now if it was in the actual earnings call or the follow-up call where an analyst said something along the lines of, the losses are going to grow again in 24 at FRL. And then he said something like a statement, they could peak next year, which I thought was a funny statement because I don't know. I have no idea what he was actually basing that on. I mean, what they're saying to me sounds like they're going to keep their foot on the gas there. And, there also is, I believe this is also on the follow-up call, one part as it relates to something on Gen AI and that part of the investment, kind of a research focused part of that investment, them moving something from FRL to FOA in terms of how it's accounted for. The specifics on it, I think, are less relevant than the point that this is all becoming a little bit less distinct from one another in terms of where the investment is showing up, especially as it relates to a lot of the AI stuff, right? So I think that's going to be messy, but I also think it's very, very clear. I think Zuck made a comment on the main call, something along the lines of, we need to get ourselves in this position because one, things are always changing, but two, we're looking out to where these things are, what's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years. We want to get ourselves to be positioned for that. And it's just a reminder again, as has been the case kind of from the jump here, right? That he has a certain vision and is willing to spend very aggressively to go after it. And as a minority shareholder, you just need to truly be comfortable with that, or else do something about it, because you're the one who needs to change, not him, right? Or at least
No.
that's where it's going to come from. So.
No, and I think, and just to play devil's advocate, my only worry is that I think that's perfectly fine if there's a certain segment that's like, let's say AI related tied to like Instagram Reels. I'm just making an example. Then of course that really does, that's spend that can potentially generate, more engagement, more revenue, better economics for the business. My only worry is that, the gloves, the headset, and I know that there's a lot more things inside here, but like, is there a chance that, over time, spend that's not related to something that can actually generate meaningful revenue, is that going to eventually be a drag again? Because I don't think it's the end of the world if like we go from like 25% revenue growth to like something like, hey, high single digits, markets will adjust, right? Or even like, low double digits. But though I guess those, and I guess that growth is might be inevitable anyways, but the questions I think will come up because you're at peak free cash flow and you're over 20%. I mean, yeah, peak free cash flow ever and over 20% revenue growth for several quarters. No one's gonna, worry too much about a huge loss on the side business, but the questions could come up again. It's kind of what I
Yeah,
wonder.
no, I well, I think that's, that really is, in my mind, that really is the 2022 story. It's the quote I opened this up with, right? It's that was the conception to the investment community, and in my opinion, the long-term investment community, right? And I think that's the only person that you really need to have any worry about appeasing or, partnering with. That's who you should be talking to. And I think that's who Zuck was talking to when they set those goals, or at least that guideline for the financial trajectory of the company. Now, that became very, very, it became really messy right out of the gates after they set it because of the results in the business on the top line in combination with the OpEx growth. And I even wrote at the time, moving the goalposts, it seemed like it was going to be very, very difficult to get there in 22, obviously, or in 23 at the time. Kudos to them for the changes that they've made subsequently. And again, especially I think in Q4, it became evident what was in place. And now they've obviously benefited from the revenue, re-excel. But I think holding to that commitment is very, very important. Now, to your point, you can hold to that commitment and report 2% EBIT growth in theory, or you can hold to that commitment and report, 25% EBIT growth, depending on, in some ways, what's going on at FRL. And, it's funny, there was also another comment on the call as it related to the CapEx spend during the course of 2023. And I think Zuck fairly so said something along the lines of, we got a lot of questions last year in the past 12 months. about our heightened CapEx spend. And the answer now is that we actually needed to do that for the sake of some of the AI, services that we're trying to basically support. And if we had not done that, we would probably be in a tough position now. So again, I think a lot of this gets to, are the financial is the financial vision and trajectory clear and fair to a long-term shareholder, not somebody who's going to own for the next 2 quarters? And then can you kind of stay within that while still doing what you think is sensible for the long term? And I think that's messy at times, but I think they're there now. You have anything else to add? Probably at time.
No, I think that you said it well and ended it well.
We'll wrap for today. I think next week we're probably going to be talking Disney and probably this new sports streaming service. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening.